Good morning, world, wherever you are today. Thank you so much for joining us. You are joining myself, Reverend Ben Cooper, and we have Sandra Robson with us today. We are just across the mics to each other. It is very noisy here today, so I must keep emphasizing this is real, this is live, this is raw, these podcasts. We are in our small studio. The church is being renovated, and there are builders everywhere, so we apologize for the noise, the tapping, the banging, the noise, the voices, whatever you may hear in the background. This is raw recording, and we thank you so much wherever you are across the world. But we are into the persecuted church, as we do with Sandra. Her ministry is vast, it is wide, it is very, very deep, and we appreciate Sandra, the years that she has been very obedient to this calling. And today we're looking at persecuted Christians in flight. Sandra, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much, Sandra.
All right, so last time we were looking at children at Christmas, and I was going through some things, how they're suffering, but also how God is, you know, working through them and yep. how people are supporting them. We talked about dad's been in prison, been murdered, martyred or killed or kidnapped, and also that some of them were displaced and were refugees. And so we're going to look at that today, and just a few things that we talked about last time. So we were looking at a couple of stories about some children and how they had been supported in their Christian faith, through the tragedies, through the difficulties, and how they're shining for Jesus. And some of the things we said was about that these are the church and they are the future church and how we need to invest in them. And so the first thing was Bibles and Christian materials for children to encourage them in God's word. And we saw how these children yeah. were using those things. And then children's programs and summer camps for fellowship and community. And at this time of year, we're praying that they will be able to have the Christmas things going on. Obviously, we know that COVID is still around and about and trying to cause issues. But anyway, we pray that in some way, the cards and things to just bless these children will be yeah. there and encourage them. Also, emergency relief and aid to sustain families through the crisis. And then another thing is training for Sunday school teachers and schooling to help develop the children and give their God-given potential, even in camps. And we talked about the schools that are being set up as well. Trauma care to show God's love to persecuted children, and short-term respite or long-term shelter for vulnerable Christian children. And we know about that. In Colombia, we know about the children's centres where some children have to go to be protected when their families are being threatened. So we looked at those things, and we did talk about how some of them, as I say, have had to leave where they live and are either in camps, internally displaced, or they're actually in another country. And I thought, well, it is quite apt, and I just felt prompted to carry on with this, thinking about Jesus. I think we mentioned last year, thinking about how God said, you know, you've got to leave, you know, Bethlehem, and you need to go to Egypt because there's people who are after you. And some Christians have had that experience where God has prompted them, said, you've got to go, you know, it's time to go. And as much as they haven't wanted to, they have had to, they fled over in a night. They've just had to leave things behind, or they've been forced to through conflict, through their villages being destroyed, through war and through violence. And we're particularly looking at refugees in Africa, Syria and Iraq.
Wow, Sandra.
So.
This is mind-blowing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about children, it seems to take all this to a different level, doesn't it? When you really think that children have lost parents, they've been stripped of everything, they've been put in camps, they're being moved around, they're being, even the bullying that goes along with everything, I can't actually grasp it. There's maybe a system that I have in my mind that just seems to block that surely this doesn't happen to children. Because where we live within the UK, I know I don't say we, but okay, let's say me, I moan a lot about the government. One thing's for sure is physically we are very, very secure and safe.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got governments that will just do whatever they got to do,
mm-hmm.
and there's so much bloodshed, then on top of that you put children into mm-hmm. this mix, it goes beyond the natural thought pattern of life. So looking at the pictures that Sandra has in front of us and just going a little bit deeper, we really need your prayers. The refugees really need your prayers. This is so, so important. The children that are displaced, moved around, shuffled about, losing their families, brothers, sisters, from such an early age, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the figures are shocking. I mean, it says the UN estimated that at the end of 2020, so they haven't got the numbers for this year, 2020, 82 million people
wow.
were forcibly displaced globally. And that's double the number displaced in 2011. And a lot of these are internally displaced people.
Yes.
And so, for example, they say Syria, 700,000 Christians fled during the years of civil war.
700,000.
Yeah. And that some of them are trying to return, but it's very, very tricky and still very dangerous.
Yeah.
And in Iraq, up to 90% of the Christian population have left the country since the fall of Saddam Hussein in 2003. And this has caused instability, violence, and and a lot of them remain displaced in Kurdistan. And I'm going to give some stories that they've been to these camps. Some of the people, the partners of Release International.
Yeah.
And they've asked, you know, and people have given their stories. And so I'm going to tell you some.
Yeah, real life stories.
Yeah, real
right
people.
Right from the root of what's going on.
Yeah. But again, it's always amidst all this turmoil, there is such a heartwarming
glow.
Yes.
There's the presence of God.
Thank the Lord. Yeah. And in Nigeria, jihadists continue to wage war against believers in north and central Nigeria. Thousands have been killed. Hundreds of thousands now live in camps for displaced people. And, I mean, even this week, there's been terrible things going on. And, you know, in Burkina Faso as well. I mean, it's just awful. I mean, you know, and the people in authority just don't seem to be doing anything. I don't know whether they can't or they're scared or whatever, or there's some sort of collusion, they say. It's awful. And you know, we really need to speak up for Nigeria. But in the new year, I am going to bring a whole report that Barnabas have done. And it's really interesting and gives a real insight into what is going on. And it is a complicated situation.
Must be very intense.
Yeah, it's a complicated situation. But we need to be aware of the involvement of China and Russia now in Africa.
China and Russia?
Yes. Yes.
China in Africa?
Yes, yes. They are doing things. Yes, they are. They're exploiting certain
areas. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll find out. Will it be interesting?
I've just had the report was mm-hmm. just sent to me.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it last night and I thought, no, I'll leave this to the new year. This is what I needed to focus on now. But Ethiopia, we know about the conflict there in Tigray. Forcing tens of thousands of people, including mm-hmm. persecuted Christians from Eritrea. Then you've got Eritrea. We know about that. Somalia, 3 million Somalians are displaced. I didn't realise it was that many.
3 million?
3 million, yeah. And they have been driven into Kenya. And then, of course, the issues in Kenya now. And Iraq, we've done that one. Iran, prison authorities, a little bit of a glimmer of hope there for the underground church. They've just announced that people meeting in home groups it's not against the law now. That's to good. Meet in home groups.
So when we mention the underground church, that is a church that is completely off-grid to the authorities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're seeking refuge in neighbouring Turkey.
And we're referring to Iran as in there are no churches standing, I believe. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
No Christian churches flat.
Yeah, so they're only allowed in, you know, they have been meeting in houses. And now the authorities are saying they can meet in houses and they won't be prosecuted. So we'll see how that goes and why.
Why
that might be.
Why is that turned around?
We're hoping that it's,
yeah, you it's, know, it's official it's and it's God, proper, you know, and it's God driven and God opening a door. Yeah,
so we
I get that.
See how I haven't got all the details on that. It was just like a news flash that came through on the email prayer. And then Afghanistan, obviously we
know what's going
on
there.
What's happened there and how many have fled there. Mm-hmm. Pakistan, Christians live as second class citizens and they are fleeing violence to Thailand and other countries. And then North Korea, they've been fleeing into China, but of course been trying to stop that as well. So that gives you an idea of what's going on and how Christians are being moved around to different places. So
really, when I look at the westernized church, I'm actually starting to get a little bit lost for words. I'm starting to get a little bit frustrated because this is the real church to me. What I see happening here amongst the adults and the children, my teeth are gritted sometimes. Lord, help me. Give me strength. In the West, we are just so blessed.
Mm.
And I think we have abused the blessedness that God has given us. And that has turned us, when I say us, I should say a big handful of denominations away, when you've got our sisters and brothers and the young children crying and running to the Lord under complete regimes that are destroying their families, their lives. But God is moving, isn't he? When you look at the statistics, when you look at the pictures, when you look at these articles, when you look at these real life stories, it's a wow moment that there is a move of the Holy Spirit. There is a clear move of a supernatural God. There is a clear move of the power of God's word.
Yes.
There is protection in complete and absolute carnage or evil situations. God have mercy on certain governments around the world. But Sandra, this is we have to protect ourselves as well, don't we? Because I'm just thinking of you. When you read everything, you have to make sure that you are protected and you don't get too caught up. When you look at certain pictures and you certain stories, we pray that God will strengthen you. Okay, Sandra.
Yeah, so, well, we've seen that, you know, that in some cases, you know, in Nigeria, they want the particular groups, Fulani and others, want to take over the land. And so they're pushing Christians out. Mm-hmm. In other cases, it's that they just don't want Christians to meet. And they're threatening now. They're saying if you meet in a church, then, you know, you expect trouble. They want churches closed down. And other places, they're wanting churches closed down completely. Obviously, in China, that's happening. But we're talking about people having to flee. And in those cases, it's, you know, Nigeria and Syria and Iraq that were affected. And to push Christians out, as we saw with ISIS, them wanting to create this Islamic state. And that's happening. This is the whole thing with Africa and all this area is basically this desire for an Islamic states. A lot of it is to do with that.
So it's very fluid from nation to nation, country to country, province to province.
Yeah.
There's one drive behind this.
Yeah, so they were saying because the way Afghanistan went, it's emboldened
certain extremists, empowered.
Yes, to think, they've done that, we can do this, we can take this on. And it's a misunderstanding of what Christianity is. And this is it. In these stories, it's the one-on-one that makes a change. Either God turns up, is he's given them dreams and visions, as we said, on the run, and they've suddenly met the holy God and realised who he is and about Jesus and him dying on the cross. Or they've met a Christian who's fled and then talks and tells them, or they're on the run or whatever. But it seems to be the word Christian and their idea of what Christian is. And like we just said, the West has not helped. Yeah. The Western idea of Christianity. And so they, you know, and that is a big problem.
It's massive, isn't it?
You know, so it's like knowing Jesus and being a follower of Jesus, is the important thing.
Like you just said, that being a follower of Jesus, we are certainly in this nation and in the West where we have to be very careful how we use the word Christian.
Mm.
I'm starting, and I have for a while now, actually, even from the pulpit, I am a believer in the holy God of Israel. I believe from Genesis to Revelation, because it can get very misinterpreted, can't it?
And that's it. And that's what's happened. And I mean, you know, there's things about, you know, they see the prosperity gospel and
that's
they think it's all rot, you know, that, you know, that Christians are greedy and all this is manipulated. So then, you know, young people see this and think, oh, Islam is so strict and so holy and so pure. And, you know, Christians are just, you know, they're compromised. They do what, you know, but they talk about grace and I don't know, this Jesus, was he real or was he just a prophet or what? And so all this gets mixed up.
Mm.
And sadly, you know, believers who really, truly believe in Christ are persecuted. But through that comes
the real awakening of the Holy God that is in charge of heaven and earth. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. So we need to make sure that we press in for these displaced children, these displaced adults, the refugees, you know, what's happening in Syria, Iraq, all these places around the world. There is the same pattern that is happening. When you look, it doesn't seem to be what label is on the turf of the nation, because there is the same drive. When you unfold everything and you unpack it, it is the same press. It is the same outcome.
Yeah.
It's
a lot about religion versus Jesus.
Yeah, that's what it is.
System versus Jesus. You know, like communism versus Jesus.
Yeah.
In ideology versus Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Occultic activity.
Yeah. So this, I managed to hear this guy, this Jamal.
Yeah.
He has set up what they call helping hands. He felt very much directed by the Lord to set up support because all these refugees were coming into this area of Kurdistan. And I heard part of his Zoom meeting. I didn't manage to hear all of it, but it was was really good. And his heart for the people is just beautiful.
Okay.
So basically, he spoke to this lady, Nahal, and she's a Christian widow. So it doesn't say how her husband died, but anyway, she was involved. She was in a city that was involved in the civil war, and Turkish forces invaded her district in 2018. And she said they were under attack for 3 months. and the conditions were very harsh. There were dead bodies in the street, and they were left there for days, and there were power cuts and contamination and lack of food. And she said one night, after the city was encircled entirely, there was just one route left to escape through areas controlled by the Syrian regime. But the road was very dangerous. So my son, so this is why I picked it up, because we're talking about children. So my son and I packed our bags, and with a miracle from the Lord, we fled the city.
Think about that a moment, listeners.
Yeah.
Think about that. You know, over here in the UK, we're flying around the shops trying to get shopping done, and we've got parents one way out of the city, one way to freedom. If I don't get through this gateway, if I don't get through this door, if I don't leave now,
yeah,
pack a bag and go.
And this has taken its toll on her.
Oh my goodness,
she's
look at this
not
lady.
That old, but wow. Because of all she's been through, yeah, she says it's affected her health. She's been in a camp, but she isn't giving up. And as I read the story, she's actually training, and I don't know how, it doesn't say how old her son is, but you know,
sure.
Shows you, you know, the trauma and the effects that it's had. But she's still holding on to the Lord. And she said 10,000 people were running for their lives with her.
10,000 people and on the run.
Yeah, and they were crossing, and there was a bomb attack, which caused the Kurdish forces to leave their positions, and the road became clear, and they just made a run for it. And they eventually got to a Syrian-controlled town about 20 kilometres away, but they still felt not safe. Mm-hmm. Again, smugglers come into the picture.
Yeah.
And they were taken to another city, but they heard that militants were attacking Christians and Yazidi families, and that we could be killed or kidnapped or ransomed. So they ran again. And they managed to travel to a Kurdish area in northern Iraq, and they hoped for better treatment and assistance. And they got to the capital, which we've heard before, Erbil, yeah, and settled in. Our situation was not good because of the high cost of living and lack of job opportunities, but we never lost hope, since God is always for us.
That word again. Hope. We never lost hope.
And after a while, we were introduced by some Christian brothers and sisters to Helping Hands and Jamal. And children, adults and elderly, all refugees, deserve the right to be treated as valued human beings. We provide support to refugees and internally displaced people from Iraq and Syria who have fled their homes and now live in poverty. Many have lost family members and cannot provide for their children. We provide food packages, housing, education, vocational training to hundreds of refugee families fleeing from war and persecution. While COVID-19 has limited our movements, it has not stopped us from getting supplies to the needy in our region. And this lady says, I'm now learning to sew. This encouraged me to find work and meet the financial needs of my family. And she said, I've also joined a discipleship group. That was crucial for me to know more about the Lord.
Wow. What a story.
Since 2018. So,
what a powerful story. Real life stories. Real life. Hearts on the run, but finding hope in dark situations, finding life. You know, the barrel of the gun has been chasing them for years, but their freedom. Freedom is so powerful. Brothers and sisters, wherever you may be, and probably most of us that are listening to this are in the West, I just pray that we really just value our freedom.
Mm.
Our freedom, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just beautiful the way that, you know, she did find help, but she is such, you know, an inspiration to others, because what she's been through, and that she says, I'm holding on to the Lord, and I'm sure that, you know, as like, you know, encourages and has a knock-on effect. And then there's this guy, right, he, I think there was somebody in his family who did believe, but because of what happened, he stopped believing. This is it. This is Nasser. N-A-S-S-E-R. Yep. And he said, I struggled with Christianity for many years. In my childhood, I grew up in a Christian orphanage, and we had to go to church every day before school. Whenever I went to see my grandmother, she would explain to me about our Heavenly Father and his love and care. She told me stories from the Bible and how God provides for our food, clothing, and all our needs. As an adult, however, I blamed God for having a difficult life as a child. And my grandmother said he was my Heavenly Father, but I didn't experience this because I had lost my father. And then he said, one day in Damascus, I was in a conversation with a friend and I told him I didn't believe in God. But he started to talk to me about God's love and invited me to his church in the city. He insisted in the end I decided to go with him. And and he said, I devoted my life to God's service. I prayed and invited my new brothers to church. Every day I used to go out early to distribute Bibles to displaced people from other parts of Syria. Some of them accepted the Lord Jesus as their saviour. Then the security situation in Syria became worse. And because of my evangelistic activities, mm-hmm. I did not feel safe anymore. So my whole family was forced to move, and this time to north of Iraq.
I'm going to drop a scripture in here, Sandra.
Okay.
The word has come up quite a bit this morning. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength.
Mm.
They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is so powerful, these stories. God is moving.
Mm.
God is giving people energy. I don't know if that's the right word. God is giving people certainly hope.
Mm.
God is driving. God is releasing. God is bringing freedom. And Sandra has a picture. She's in a magazine on page 8. What one is that, Sandra?
This is Release International's Voice magazine for these months, October to December.
Okay. Sandra, could you just hold that up for me a moment?
Yeah, that's how his town was. That's how it, you know.
This we are looking at war-torn pictures, completely destroyed, rubble, homes, lives. You imagine what was in them apartment blocks. You imagine what was in them. You know, they would have had photos, they would have had their livelihood, they would have had their schoolwork, they would have had the pictures, they would have had absolutely everything. And when you look at these pictures, it's just miles and miles and streets of just war-torn buildings that have just been blasted apart. Oh, my goodness, look at this.
Mm. And they're wanting to, you know, rebuild and, yeah, so. Yeah.
Even the rebuilding of these cities, we're not talking about one or two houses, are we?
No.
We're looking at streets. We're looking at mile after mile of building that has been torn to pieces by the evil of men. God have mercy.
So he said that he too met Jamal, and they provided them with food and shelter and pastoral care. We were also invited to join a course about discipleship and spiritual growth. We needed that since we were going through difficult circumstances. He says he's also received training to be an electrician and he hopes in the future to support himself. I cannot forget the significant role of this organisation, its positive impact on my life and indeed my whole family. We pray that the Lord will bless the work of this ministry as they help displaced families spiritually and practically. May all the glory and honour be to our God.
Amen.
Turnaround.
Massive turnaround. How can we support that as listeners? How can we support all this, Sandra? So we would find these articles in this magazine.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, obviously prayer is a big thing. And then they do have their Christmas cards. But obviously that's, you know, a bit late now, but they do have gifts and things if you wanted to get gifts for people other times of the year. There are some fantastic books that they have online that are really good, any time.
So there are resources out there that we can tie into, and there are ways that we can support. Prayer is the key.
Prayer, yeah.
Prayer is the number one, but so many people like to sow a financial seed as well, and you can do that, obviously.
Yeah.
You just need to go online, maybe look in Open Doors, their main website, and look at Release International and Barnabas Fund and everything. And let's never forget the old Transworld Radio, the great work that they do.
It's just there. It's just there says, help persecuted Christians we got it.
Okay. So. Persecuted and conflict continue to force Christians to leave their homes to flee as refugees. What a image I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
A parent, a mum.
Yeah, with their little
child that's got a dummy in his mouth.
Yeah.
And he's crying. Yeah. He looks distressed. You can see the pain on mum's face. Please, God, have mercy.
Mm.
These precious believers and their families need your prayers and gifts to survive and to rebuild their lives.
Mm.
Many live in poverty and face uncertain future.
Mm.
There we go. It's got the information there. We're on page 9. And we are in Release International. You will be able to find the same information online. And it's very easy to find. Just type in Release International and it comes up straight away. The voice for the voiceless. The information, Sandra, is good.
Mm.
It's on point, as it always is with you. And we just pray that God will continue to move in these recaps, because we're just recapping and we're looking and God is driving this very powerfully.
Mm.
God is working out his plans.
Yeah.
The gospel will continue.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is, there must be an uncountable amount of people praying into these lives for refugees.
Yes. And then we see those miracles, you know, when we say about, you know, people having dreams and visions and things, you know, we pray for those things. And also we do pray that they will be able to go back. They want to go back to their homes. They don't want to be in different countries.
No.
They want to go back to their homes. I mean, in one way, we know that it is spreading the gospel, because like when I was looking all that information about how some from the Muslim faith had come to faith.
Yeah.
It was because they got displaced and they were in a different country, and now they've formed a group in that particular country, which wouldn't have been there. And there's like a church, and so, you know, so
all things work.
Yeah,
together,
all things work. That's what I said. Says. All things. God is working through all things.
All things. But, very powerful scripture.
Yeah, but we pray that they will be able to go back. There will be safety and security. And one thing that is happening, which is interesting, again, it's on a local level, is that some places are realizing how they're missing the Christian input, and that's a reason, like in Iraq, that they're sort of encouraging them to come back, because they realize they're very important to the makeup of the land and the community, and you know, and they're missed.
Yeah.
And so they are making a way. But obviously it's still a delicate situation. But I thank the Lord for all those who have gone back. As we say, we've given a few bricks.
We have. Yes, that was historical moments, wasn't it?
So, you know, and it's continuing. And I just felt that it needed to be remembered, although the stories fade out of the media. Everything is still...
But the people are still the same.
They're still going on.
But there's always new stories, isn't there? But the stories seem to be pretty much the same to a degree. What we have is just the names changing, because the persecuted drive is the same, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It is one goal, and the goal is to eradicate believers in God, the God of Israel.
Yeah.
So the drive is the same. The ways that it is done is the same. We see as we jump from nation to nation, province to province, town to town, you know, the barbaricness of certain human groups. I don't even want to use the word human, you know, such extremists. There is there is the same drive, and above this drive, it seems to be such a super, when I say, I'm not referring to a supernatural, I'm referring to a drive of evil. There comes to a layer, doesn't there? There becomes a frenzy. There becomes a hysteria. There becomes a spiritual, very dark drive that is overlaid this.
Yeah.
Because this is not built into human beings. Mm. This is not in the fabric of our makeup. This is driven by a supernatural darkness. You know, it is more than the human mind can cope with. When you look at witch doctors, when you look at black magic, when you look at the occult world, when you look at idolatrous worship, lifting up foreign gods, when you bring all this together, you are invoking spiritual entities that are powerful and have more strength than the human body. But we remember, as greater is he that is in us than he that is in
the world.
And yeah. I just want to reference the scripture, Sandra. We just touched on that. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God.
Yes.
And to them who are called according to his purpose. Mm. So one thing that we need to remember is very clear this morning is that our brothers and sisters have been called. Mm. They've been chosen. Mm. They're in God's hands.
Yeah.
But there's another side to that story, isn't there? Mm. Why, God? Why? As they persecuted me, so will they persecute you.
Mm.
So it's scripture all the way through, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And that's what they take comfort in, the fact that Jesus was displaced too. So, you know, those things in the story of his life, you know, also
most definitely
must give them comfort too.
And that started off at the beginning when he said, no room at the inn.
Mm.
It started as an infant, no room. Mm. And then we know that as his ministry built, as he started, you know, he was ostracized, he was put aside, he was chased out. This is our God.
Mm.
This is our God.
But we do pray for those who persecute, as he tells us to pray.
That's
for
important,
them.
Isn't it,
and
Sandra?
Many, as we say, have come to know him as their Lord and Saviour.
Yes.
And we know that it is a spiritual battle, that, you know, there is sin, and they are lost, and they are in darkness, and they are in religion, and they have turned away from the true and living God, or, you know, they've been messed up to not know who he is So we do pray for those who persecute, as well as we pray for our brothers and sisters that they will have a safe time of this year, and they will be able to celebrate, and that, you know, just thinking of that reality of, like you said, about no room at the end. I mean, we dress it up a lot, don't we?
We dress it up and turn it into a lovely nativity.
Mm.
But when you really analyse what that was the point. That was the point when that innkeeper said, no room at the inn. Yes, I know. I get we are looking at the birth of Christ. But when you peel back and you look beyond the fabric of the nativity, when you look at that, that young life, that mum, that dad were being persecuted from the kick point, straight from the bat. The word became flesh. He made his dwelling among us. He comes into the world, and straight away we see the king of all kings, being rejected.
Yeah. And you know, and just such a, well, it's a miracle, you know, really. They survived in that stable situation, you know, but that's how people are living.
That's exactly
how
they
are living.
Yeah.
Our brothers and sisters are living that way. But the hope is in their heart.
Praise God.
Jesus is with them. Emmanuel. He is there.
God with us.
He is there in the camps. He is there when they're fleeing. He is there, you know, in the countries they go to. We just thank you, Lord, that you are there with them, and that we send our prayers to help them and encourage them, bless them, Lord, that the finances will be there, that the food will be there, that the warmth will be there, the shelters will be there. We thank you for those that you are calling to help.
Amen.
We can't be there in person, but you have people there who can. And we thank you for those who will come to know you what is going on, Lord. As hard as it all is, as hard as we don't understand, Lord, but you see a bigger picture than we do. And as we've said, you are at work and all things work together. So we just thank you, Lord, that for all those who are doing things to help the refugees, to help those displaced, And we thank you for our brothers and sisters themselves and the children and the witness that they are and the stories that we've just read that are multiplied again and again and again. Lord, we just thank you that we can share these this morning, and we just bless your holy name, and we just praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Sandra, we thank you so much. We thank you from the very bottom of our heart for coming in and sharing everything that goes on. You can find all this online. It's so easy to find this information. It's on the websites. There's three great places you can go to: Barnabas, Open Doors, Release International, and let's not forget our friends at Transworld Radio that are doing such a great job. May God bless you and strengthen you. Thank you. You've been listening to Sandra Robson and myself, Reverend Ben Cooper. We thank you from the very depth and the very bottom of our innermost being. Please share all these podcasts out wherever you are today across the world. Have a great and wonderful day, and remember, you are loved, you are blessed, and you have freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.